Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you that we can come together this morning, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us and your Holy Spirit anointing, Lord, this place. Thank you, Lord, for touching, Lord, us today, Lord, that to see, Lord, your power and your anointings setting people free. Lord, to show us your love, Lord, and your power. As we come together, Lord, this morning, that you may just touch also our mind and our hearts so that we may just grow closer to you. We may grow, Lord, in ways that are pleasing to you, and that we, Lord, are going to be able to move mountains, Lord, with our prayers and with our faith. We just praise you and thank you, Lord, for what you have done already and what you are going to do even today. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I prepared already the topic from last week. You know, the way I work, I just prepare a whole series. But the Lord changed everything I wanted to do. So I had to change all the order of things. And the thing is, you know, when you get revelation about things that are important, then you had to listen. You know, he's the boss. He's the one that knows what we need. He's the one that makes the difference. He's the one that gives us the ability to get results. And that's what we are talking about here. We are talking about God's ability working through us to get results, to get our prayer answered. And often, you know, the idea is that people think the prayer is just something that they do in their mind, when instead it's something that is spiritual. And you have to do it with your spirit to be effective, to make a difference. And so you want to be able to make that connection with him, because as you connect with him, then things start to happen. And it's not complicated, it's easy, you know, and people try to use great words and great oratory, and that doesn't do it. You can just say two words with his authority and things change. Hallelujah. And so we had to learn to look at things not in the physical, but in the spiritual. This is why this series, you know, I'm entitled, you know, The Mystery of Prayer. Because it's something that we need to have revelation from. And one of the areas that I have been praying about and receiving better understanding is when people keep praying all the time and they never looks like get any results, you know, and they just struggle trying to push through and try to have a breakthrough. And so the factors and the elements that one has to consider, generally, you know, when you hear people preaching about breakthroughs, they just give you a little formula. You don't just do one, two, three things. And it doesn't work. Because it's not a formula. Every situation is different. And you have to address the situation that you are in, not the formula. So you have to understand. You have to connect with the source. And when you connect with the source, then you find out the detail of what is involved. And you have to address those things. So I'm going to go back to where we were yesterday, last week, I mean, and connect from there. You know, we were seeing really things that relate or that have impact on hindering our prayers. And we saw that when we keep iniquity in our hearts, that's one of the problems. Okay? When we have a guilty conscience, that stops our ability to have faith. And we had to deal with that. So I'm going to start here from reading from 1 John again. I read it last week, but I want to move from there to get deeper and then to move into even other aspects. Okay, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, you know, and there the walking in the light is an ongoing thing. It's not just something that, you know, we walk now. You know, this is, we keep walking in the light. As he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another between us and God. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. You know, say, well, what do you mean? You know, I got saved. You know, I accepted Jesus, all my sins are forgiven. Yeah, that doesn't mean you think that you don't never miss it today? See, why is he talking about if we walk in the light? He doesn't say, you know, that maybe you don't need it. You know, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship. If we don't walk in the light, we have no fellowship with him. See, the false doctrine that is around these days, once you're saved, you don't need to repent anymore, is nonsense. You know, the hyper-grace movement is destroying believers because they destroy their faith. They go on an assumption that is not true. If that was true, this verse is not valid. Who is right? These preachers that preach that kind of stuff or the Bible? He's talking here, he's talking to believers, he's talking to Christians, he's talking to people that know God. But the fact that you know God doesn't mean that you don't make mistakes. Hello? I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves. Okay? We are not perfect. But the thing is, says it, if you walk in the light, you see, the idea, the principle there is that we had to be, the light is the knowledge, the understanding, what we know that is wrong, that is right and wrong. And as we walk in the light, we are open for correction from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit shows us, and we choose to go that way instead of the other way. You know, if we made a mistake, we want to fix that, so that the Holy Spirit can cleanse us. And so, because we want to fix that, because we essentially, the only way to fix is put it under the blood of Jesus, to repent and to decide not to do it anymore. Well, as we do that, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Otherwise, we stay in it. Nothing happens if we don't make some decisions and we take some positions there. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, see, that is what happens. The Jesus' blood starts working in us and changing, you know, cleanses us from all sin. You know, also our motivation changes. It says, but if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not right. If we confess, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, that means, you know, the items that we have dealt with, they are going to be gone, but they are not just going to be gone. The items that we have missed, you know, even the tendency or even the direction that we take to go in that direction is dealt with, so that we become changed in the inside, that we have the understanding and have the motivation not to follow that particular direction anymore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, this is the way we are not just righteous because we confessed Jesus yesterday, a week ago, a year ago. We are righteous because we walk in the light. And when we miss it, we just fix it. Because our motivation is to be righteous. Our motivation is to be in connection with God. His motivation is to allow Jesus' blood to wash away these things. See, we don't get righteous because we do the right thing. We do the right things because we are righteous. Amen? So that deals with another, the third element. You know, we tell about guilty conscience. We tell about iniquity in our heart. These are dealt with this way. But there is also another aspect, you know, self-righteousness hinders our prayer. What is self-righteousness or legalism? Is simply that we try to be accepted by the works we do, or we believe that we are accepted by the works we do instead of accepting by what Jesus has done. See, what makes the difference. That's what, you know, we have to be careful about not thinking that because I did this or that, that we get a special position. We get a special position because we put our faith in Jesus, in what he did for us. As we do that, the blood of Jesus cleanses us the way we were saying before. Are you still there? Praise the Lord. This is important to remember. You know, there are so many scriptures addressing that, and I'm not going to go into great detail because there is so much more we have to cover. You know, but I can read just from Isaiah 64, verse 6. It says, but we are all like unclean things, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. So you see, the idea is our ego, our things, our doing is not what get us accepted by God. What we get accepted by God is what Jesus done, and because we put our trust in him. Now, because we put our trust in him, we are going to behave in such a way that is corresponding to that trust that we put in and what he expects us to do. We are obedient. You see, in Isaiah 57, verse 12 says, I, the Lord, will declare your righteousness and your works, for they will not profit you themselves. You see, it's the Lord that declares us righteous. It's not what we do that makes us declare righteous ourselves. Hallelujah. And if this is a way you say, well, this is Old Testament. Well, okay, I'm going to go to the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says very clearly, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. So you see, it's our faith in him that makes us operate in the way we do. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God. See, that doesn't mean that we said, you know, grace is important. All right? For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. I mean, that says it very clearly, wouldn't you say? You see, there our righteousness doesn't come by from the law. It comes from what he did and our faith in him. Amen? That doesn't mean that we go around now and do anything that we want because, you know, all our sins are forgiven. You know, the future, the present, and the there. That's nonsense. That's disobedience to God is disobedience to God. When we are directed by the Holy Spirit, we are going to do things that are pleasing to God. It's just as simple as that. Oh yeah, those two should be together. All right. So, now, what we come to is to look at the power that's in Jesus' blood. In what he has done. You see, people today tend on time to go back to Jewish traditions to really try to get more in connection with God. Okay? And I'm sorry, you know, try to do the feasts that they were done in the Old Testament. Those are just symbolic. They are just shadows of what we already have. We don't need to go through the ceremonial of stuff What counts is the spirit and truth in which we operate. Are you following me? See, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 says, how much more should the blood of Christ, I mean, before they had to go through the blood of bulls and stuff like that, you know, how much more should the blood of Christ, I mean, our covenant is a better covenant. We don't need to go back to that kind of celebrations. We had to move in the spirit. We had to allow the spirit to take over the flesh. We had to allow the spirit to operate in us and to direct us so that we don't go by the external things. God doesn't look at the exterior or the appearances. He looks at the heart. So our heart what makes a difference in impact and the ability to produce results. We don't need anything even physical, but just a word. You know, if you remember Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says, you know, that they brought him, you know, when even was come, you know, they brought him many who were demon possessed. And he, you know, cast out the spirit with a word. He didn't wasn't there praying all night to cast out the spirit. He couldn't have cast out too many spirit if there was a, he was doing a mass. He was doing hundreds of them coming to him, crowds coming to him, and he would just set them free. Now we are to operate like he did, not in any other way. He came so that to show us how to work today. And so if we follow his example, we are following the right thing. Amen? All right. And when you do that, you're going to get results. Typical example this morning. Didn't spend hours trying to deliver people. Sometimes it takes, instead of just one word, four or five, or maybe two sentences, or repeated the same thing. But Jesus too, you know, when the guy was delivered from, you know, blindness, is the first time Jesus prayed, can only see men that they look like trees. So he prayed another time. See, if he did, we can do it too, can't we? I mean, he's our example. And we can learn by reading what he did and following his example. Amen? All right. So, we have a much more, how much more shall the blood of Jesus, who through an eternal spirit offered himself, so that was a voluntary thing, without spot and wrinkle, you know, without to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works. You know, and when it talks about cleansing our conscience, it means, you know, that we are not feeling guilty anymore. From dead works, we are not trying to get closer to God and to get God accepted by the things we do. We do it because of the things he did. His blood washes us clean. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And continue here. Continue that verse. To serve the living God, and really that to minister to him, to worship him, in, you know, to in obedience to him. Okay, through the things, not in sacrifices and things like that. The sacrifice, Jesus did it. And to obey God is not a sacrifice. It's a opening the road for blessings. Okay? In verse Hebrews 10:19 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. This is the way you get into the presence of God. That you are aware, that you know that Jesus' blood is enough for you to go before God. And that you go with cleansed, without guilt anymore, because he has accepted you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. See, that's the road to victory. Now, why then when we pray in some areas, we just bang against the wall. Anybody been there? So it's a common praise. It's a common situation. You see, there is to break through in prayer sometime, not all the time, sometime, there is a question of breaking through resistance. The enemy doesn't like to give up. And when he has any opportunity to hold on, he will. All right? So, you know, we have scriptures on which we base ourselves to be able to know what we should do in a situation like that. I mean, one of the things that we should not do is to give up. All right? 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, you know, all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus to the glory of God the Father through us. Hallelujah. You see, we are not just selfish trying to get something for ourselves. We give glory to the Father as we achieve results, as we see demonstrate His power and His love and His abilities to by answering the promises. But we have based ourselves on the promises of God to start with. So we know that we line up ourselves with God's principle and with God's ideas. As we line up with God's idea, God is going to back us up. And so there is the answer through Jesus is yea and amen. I mean, that's it. It's done. Why it doesn't get done? Well, evidently there are things, there are hindrances that stop the operation. But that doesn't mean that it has to be that way and that to stay that way. At times, we need to come against resistance. It says, resist the devil and he will flee. Okay, he resists us, and so we flee. That's the wrong, you know, this is the opposite of what should happen. We shouldn't be the one fleeing, he should be the one fleeing. Amen. Are we agreeing with that? Amen. So we have a position there to take and to push. Now, what do we push? You see, the thing is, the problem is sometimes are not that simple. It's not just one issue. We are not dealing with just the problem that we generally are trying to resolve. We are dealing with strongholds. And we have to understand what strongholds are to be able to know how to handle them. You know, the only thing that they talk about, you know, casting down imagination and everything else, and that's a good scripture, but doesn't tell the whole story. And that's what the Lord was changing my plan, my old, the thing I was preparing before, yesterday. Because strongholds in the physical is a fortress, all right? That is made like a citadel, which is made of different walls circled one after the other. So that, and it's done in such a way to stop attacks. Now, you are not the one being attacked. In this case, you are the one attacking when you are trying to break through a stronghold. Okay. But you are coming against all this layer of protection that the enemies has put there together that are all connected one with another. Like a network of evil things put together that you had to overcome. And generally what people does, and that's a mistake, is they try to deal with the issue that bothers them